This morning, if you have your Bibles, open up to Matthew chapter 2 and verse 2. All right? Matthew 2, 2. And, you know, they said that when they asked Joseph, you know, they said, what did you tell people when they were asking how Mary and Jesus were doing after the birth? And he said, well, they're both in stable condition. Some of you will get it in a little while, but in Matt, it's a dad joke, and I'm a grandpa, so you get double indemnity on this one, all right? Matthew 2:2, it says, where is he who is born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. And you know, I just was dwelling on that and chewing on that for a little bit. And those who spent their days waiting for the greatest event in the history of the world sought him continuously. Amen? You know, this is something that the church, we have to stay focused on. Because let me tell you, all the other pulls on the world will take our focus away. But these men, they wanted to know. They knew there was a time and a season coming where change was about to come. Drastic change on the earth. Can I tell you? Drastic change is coming again. And if we're not those who pay attention to the word of God, then we're going to get caught up in it, right? We've been screaming this from the pulpit for the last 3 years. Get out of debt. That's right. Why? Because we don't want you caught up in what the world is running after and chasing after. You don't need a good credit score. Thank you, Pastor Jeff. I was feeling kind of lonely up here. And so many go, why? You don't? No. I remember when my parents, my dad and mom, they went down to lease a truck a couple years ago. He said, I don't put that many miles on the truck anymore. I'm just going to go down and lease one. And they said, we can't lease you a truck. And they said, why not? He said, because you don't have any credit. Because they paid cash for everything. And if they didn't have the cash, they didn't buy it. They didn't have a mortgage on their house, a mortgage on their garages, mortgage on their cars, nothing. They just lived within their means and paid things off. And so they went down and they said, we can't lease you a truck. You don't have any credit. They own five different pieces of property or whatever it is. I don't even know. No debt. Can't lease a truck. And then they found one charge my mom put on a credit card year before. Oh, okay. Well, now we'll give you the lease. We'll sign it. One charge on a credit card. All right? So put the one charge on your credit card and then cut it up. All right? Get rid of it. It's a trap. They said credit cards in America went over $1 trillion in debt. $1 trillion. I tell you to look at your neighbor and tell them I'm no part of that, but I don't want anybody lying in the house of God. All right? Can I tell you? That's not good stewardship. Can we all agree? That is not good stewardship. And guess what? When the economy corrects, and it always will, those that haven't lived within what they've been given because they're always chasing something else are going to get hurt worse. And then we say, oh God, what do I do? And when that day comes, you just look in the mirror and say, Pastor Drone said, get out of debt years ago. See, because we can't do whatever we want to do and then tell God, hey, you fix what I did when I was disobedient. Amen? Now, I know, hey, some people got a while to dig out. Look at, get digging out. Get digging out. Cancel your cable bill. Ain't nothing worth. She went, we don't have cable, but some people it takes their breath away. Get to a place where we can be a blessing to others. We're supposed to be the lenders, not the borrowers. God is that good to us. Amen. And so many people's joy is stolen, especially around the holiday season, because of lack. Because of lack. And I remember, I never forgot it. Years ago, we went through the Dave Ramsey course. I don't know if you did. And I remember the first time we did it at church. We just did it here last year. Or was it this year? Last year. Huh? This year in the spring? And I don't know how many credit cards we cut up then, but the last time we did it, we cut up something like 49 credit cards within 12 weeks. Within 12 weeks, people just said, nope, I'm getting this right, and we're cutting it up, and we're not doing this again. Yeah. It takes work, it takes practice, and it takes discipline. And I remember when Dave Ramsey, he said, listen, if you made minimum wage your whole life and you had no money at the end, it's because you're terrible with money. Because even those making minimum wage, if they put their money to work and put it where it was supposed to go, they would have at the end of their lives. Our problem is putting it where it's supposed to go, right? He said every dollar has to have a name. Most of us say, yes, mine, 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 right? Not savings, bills, where they're supposed to go. Every dollar has to have a name, because if you put it in your pocket, it'll disappear. And we don't want that. And I just watched in so many people's lives how it robs their joy. Yeah. Steals the joy. Debt always takes our joy. I don't know about you, but when I looked at my debt, I didn't get happy and warm fuzzies. Yep. I started getting frustrated. Do you ever take it out on somebody else because you were frustrated with the decisions you made? I did. Didn't I, honey? Yeah, see that? She's nodding all she's got. I know. So I just want to encourage you. These guys, these wise men, they were getting prepared for the one that was coming. They were using their finances and stuff. They were getting their lives in order, and they had their lives in order, preparing to go and meet the one who was and is to come. Amen? That's what they were doing with it. They also used their wealth to study and to search for him, and then finally found him. And what did they do? Laid their treasure at his feet. That's what they were building it for. They weren't building it for themselves. They were building it. They used it wisely until they found the king. And when they found him, they said, Lord, you get the lion's share of everything because we know you're going to supply for us. And God always supplies enough, doesn't he? Look at that. You had enough gas to get here or enough tread on your sneakers to walk here, one of the two. But you're here. You had enough. You had enough food this morning to give you enough strength to get here. Amen? And there's probably some more in your freezer when you go home. And if not, see Lisa. All right? She'll help fill up your freezers. You know, and in this season that we're living in, the question is the same from the world, though. Where is he? Where is he? How many of them out there looking for something? Right? And if we're so busy just gathering for ourselves and just focusing on us, I want a little bit more, I want a little bit more, I want a little more. These men, they worked at what they were doing. They studied, they knew the times, and then they saw the star, and then they traveled for a long time to go find the one king being born in a manger. Just to find one person. Months and months and months, they traveled. And then they took what they had and they gave it to the kingdom of God. And I want to encourage you. The world is out there and they've saved up a lot, some of them. And they're all looking for the one king, the king of their heart. Because none of that stuff has satisfied them. Nothing. But they're asking that question, where is he? And then we come in, amen? See, because we're supposed to be the examples of Christ on the earth. And we have to ask ourselves, each one of us, you know, what kind of an example am I? Because every thought we have to take captive. That's what Pastor Jeff said last week, according to the word. Amen? He said we must take every thought captive. And the thoughts are, whatever the world is doing, I'm going another direction. And therefore, and whatever God has spoken and prophesied over my life, I want to wage war with them. I've got to take the rest of the thoughts that all come in. And how many have a spider web of thoughts where one just ties to another and another and another? And the next thing you know, what in the world happened today? I don't even know what went on because I didn't accomplish anything. I did a whole lot of stuff, but I didn't really accomplish much. And I want to encourage you to have your list in the morning when you wake up, or make your list the night before. Because God is a God of order, is he not? He's a God of order. He loves us so much, he showed us how to order our lives, not only with creating the world, but also through his word. So we're going to have to take every thought captive. In order for the Lord to be glorified in the earth, many are asking, where is he? And we've got to have a sign in our chest that says, He is here. Follow me as I follow Christ. That's what the world is looking for. They're not, all the other stuff they're chasing after, it's only because they haven't found Him. You know, and I pray that as the body of Christ, we're not chasing after stuff other than Him. That nothing else has our hearts. That nothing else has our eyes. All of the shiny, glittery stuff that the enemy throws out there to be a distraction to us, to get our eyes off of expressing Him fully before the world. Where is He? And you know, we can go into each one of our lives. Where is He in the morning when you arise? Is He first and foremost? Where is He at noontime? Where is He in the evening when you have the evenings off? Where is He in your finances? Where is He in your family time? Where is He? What status does He have? These guys all got together and studied for a very long time, and they said, where is He? That's all they did. That's the question they asked. They went to Herod and said, hey, where is He? Where's who? The one that's going to be king. And they're asking the king. He got scared. Where is He? I want you to know, that's what the world is asking us. Where is He as the body of Christ? And we need to live in such a way that we express Him everywhere we go, no matter where we are. We know that it's time that they see Him instead of us. Amen? Yes. Tell your neighbor, say, I want them to see Him, not me. You know, when we get there, that's the heart of a servant or a son that knows that they're loved. Because God came down and He dwelt among us, right? Emmanuel, which means what? God with us, right? And we sing that, we just sang this morning, joy, unspeakable joy, right? An overflowing well. And that's who we are. And as we said last week, or last 2 weeks, joy is a decision based on what He has done. And we just simply come into an agreement with Him. Not what has happened to me. Tell your neighbor, say, you got to let that go. Tell your other neighbor, say, you definitely got to let that go. Come on. You got to tell him. You have to. This is not about what happened to you. Oh, we've got to get rid of us. This is not about what happened to you. This is about what happened to Him through Him. Amen? Now what He promised is all of ours. But unlike our little ones, who struggle with it this time of year. I don't know if some of you will next Monday, a week from Monday. Some of the little ones will struggle in sharing. Some of the big ones will struggle in sharing that last piece of pie, the last candy drop, or whatever is the thing in your house. I remember when we were growing up, my mom would buy a box of Thin Mints. And they came in a box and they all were standing on edge. And she only bought them at Christmas time. And man, you'd go in there, and you take that first one, and then you'd knock the rest of the row over so it looked like it was still full. So you didn't get one yet? Oh, yeah. Every trick in the book you tried to get one more Thin Mint than anybody else. And when it came down to the last one, we're sitting there looking at it. And then Mom ultimately would come in. How many did you have? Rats. Now I got to tell the truth. Or at least I was supposed to. So now we're going to have to share what God has done, what Christ has done. This is a time of sharing. And we're sharing the truth. We're not sharing the truth. What happened to you, maybe it was horrible, but you're going to have to let that go. What happened to Him was more horrible than what happened to you because He didn't deserve it. He did it as an opportunity to come for each and every one of us. He did it for a reason and a purpose. He said, I want you to know I'm going to go through all the pain that you'll ever go through. I'm going to carry all of that, and I'm going to wash all of that away, and I'm going to make all things new for you. I'm going to make a way out of that trap, that death trap that says I failed, that death trap that says I was abused, that death trap that says I'm unloved, that death trap that says that nobody cares about me. I want you to know we care. So sick of the enemy lying to people. I don't feel loved. Change your feelings. You made a decision. I make a decision. I take ownership of the feeling of rejection. Let's take ownership of the understanding and the truth that you're loved. Right? I am loved. Let's just take ownership of that because that's the truth. The lie is that you were abandoned. I felt abandoned. Right? Those feelings get us in a lot of trouble when they supersede the word of God. We've got to get to a place where I'm trading my sorrows, the old song was, right? I'm trading my sorrows. I don't remember how it goes. My pain. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. Right. I only remember the beginning sometimes. Because I jump back and forth. You know, I go from the worship songs to 80s, and it sort of jumps back and forth half the time. But there's got to be a trade that we make. I'm trading my debt to be able to live debt-free. Amen. Right? I'm trading my sorrow for his joy because he made a way for me. Right? I'm trading my rejection for his love. Amen. That's what I'm trading. He said, I love you with an everlasting love. It'll never change. Nobody can ever tell you or take away that I love that I have for you. That's what the King of Kings said. I don't know about you, but I trust him. I trust him and his word. Luke 7:16 says, fear gripped them all and they began glorifying God, saying, a great prophet has risen among us and God has visited his people. Man. And this report concerning him went out all over Judea and the district. Here's the prophetic future words that were, he was coming. It was the prophets that were proclaimed in Isaiah. He came and he visited. There's the fulfillment of it. And this is what was spoken in Isaiah chapter 7 and verses 14 and 15. It says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. He will eat curds and honey, and at the time he knows enough to refuse evil and choose good. There it is. There's the gospel. When does the church get to a place where we know enough to choose good and not evil? When do we get to a place? He said he's going to eat curds and honey. I guess honey's good for babies. No, it's not, they say. I don't know. He did. Curds, it's not butter. Some of them translate it butter, but it's not. It's like a cheese. And so when he had enough cheese and honey, then he would get to a place where he would be able to know and choose good rather than evil. Isn't that amazing? Right? See, this is what God's looking for. When we've been in his word for a while, do we get to a place where we choose good rather than evil? When I open my mouth, do I speak good or do I speak evil? Well, it depends on the day and the circumstances. Depends on who I'm with. Depends on what I'm going to do afterwards and how much work is involved. So once we go down this list, that will discern and determine what comes out of my mouth. No, because the word of God says that we are to rejoice how often?
Always.
So we always have a spirit of rejoicing living on the inside of us and the decision that we have to make. I'm going to rejoice because it's a decision to walk in that joy. Amen? And understanding God's love. But it said that he knows enough to refuse evil and choose good. Listen, you teenagers, every time you turn on your phone, you're going to make some choices. That phone is to suck you in, lure you in, and control and manipulate the rest of your life. They're trying to get you to think a certain way. That your phone knows the places you go, and it feeds you whatever you have been looking at. Oh, that we could take all of your phones and all we see are scripture verses, one after another, after another, after another. I'm sure my son's phones are like that. No, because all of them get distracted, amen? And you adults, you're no different. Oh, it's only a short one. Probably some of you are looking at him now. I had enough of this guy. Got your earpiece in, listen to somebody else preaching. I'm secure in that. There's a lot better preachers out there than I am, that's for sure. But if we catch you, we'll cut your ear off. Scripture says that he chose to do good. He chose to do the will of the Father. He chose to love us instead of his place at the right hand of the Father. He chose to pour himself out so that we would be filled up. And he chose the base things of this world to express his love to the world. Isn't it amazing? You know, when we look at that, when we look at the town of Bethlehem, right, we sing about it. And Bethlehem, the scripture says it was nothing. It was insignificant, right? And it means, what does Bethlehem mean? Anybody remember? House of bread. That's what it means, Jesus. The bread of life coming out of the house of bread and coming in to each one of our lives. But it didn't just say it was something insignificant. It doesn't say something small. It means something smaller than small. It means there's no reason that anything should have come out of Bethlehem. No reason whatsoever. And it's almost like God saying, look it, I've used Gideon and I've used all of these that nobody ever expected me to use. And look at your neighbor and tell him, God wants to use you. That's right. Maybe you think you're insignificant. Maybe you think, Bethlehem. Yeah, it's such a small place. God always takes the little and builds much. He always takes the least. Those whose hearts are humble towards him. Those who fall in love with him. Those who have not much to offer. Tell your neighbor, say, that's you. Right? Outside of his word, what do we have to offer? Outside of his power, what do we have to offer? We're like the rest of the world. But once we dive into him, because in my flesh, I don't have much to offer. But when his word comes, because where the word of the king is, there's power. Right. So when the word of God goes forth out of us, then everything around you starts to change. And he did that because of his great love towards us. He said, I'm going to give you the authority to use my word in every situation. And he said, I hear you every time you cry. I want you to know God is a very merciful God. And he never, never turns a deaf ear to your cry. Never. He hears your cry, and then he sends an answer. Hence the problem. Maybe not the answer we want to hear, but he always sends an answer. Romans 5:8, it says, but God commandeth, I love the King James on this one, God commandeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And there it is. Now the other ones, they say demonstrates, which is what he did. But God's command for Christ to come, he never changed that principle. He never changed that thought process. The demonstration came because of the command that God gave. He said, I want a family. I want a body. I want sons and daughters. And I want them to walk in the fullness that I designed for them before the fall. And now he said, son, that's the only way that we're going to make this work. You're going to go down there and you're going to express the greatest expression of love the world has ever seen. You're going to show them what love looks like. Love is not about buying somebody something. Guys, save your money on the gold jewelry, all right? Young guys, all right? We spend a lot of money on gold. Do we have any idea where it is? Oh, it got stolen. That's right. Yeah. Yep. But it's just stuff. And God supplied above and beyond ever since. Amen? And he always will. So don't get distracted by the silliness. He said, this is love. John 4:8, right? It says that God is what? Love. God is love. No one else has the corner on the market of love outside of God. Cupid doesn't have it. Stuff doesn't have it. God has cornered the market on love because there's never been a greater expression of love than through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And it came out of the tiniest, most insignificant place called the house of bread, and the bread of life came. And men spent years studying, preparing just for a glimpse of this and to find out where he was. And I pray that we spend our lives looking and finding the glimpses in our hearts and in the Word of God as we dive in closer and we build line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, because His love is phenomenal. Godly love is a spiritual love that God, through His Holy Spirit, enables us to have. How many people have you said, I just don't have a love for them? Maybe you said that. I remember saying that. Me and my dad didn't get along. I didn't have a love for him. I want you to know, maybe you felt that way, or maybe you're going through that right now. Somebody has hurt you. Somebody has left you. Somebody, whatever it was, and you have a hard time loving them. I want you to know that when you forgive, supernatural love starts to move on the inside of you and change you so that you can love even the unlovable. It's a reality, it's a possibility if you agree with what His Word says. But some people say, you don't know what I've been through. God knows what you've been through. And so He sent His Son through it to show you, you can through His love. He said, Father, if it's possible, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Right. So whenever situation we get into, Lord, I just can't love that person. Well, probably somebody had a hard time loving you at one time. Maybe the first person that told you about Jesus said, here's a track, and ran. Because they were afraid of you. I don't know how it came. But I want you to know, when you fall in love with God, it's a supernatural love that the Holy Spirit starts to do inside of each and every one of us. So even those that have hurt you or abused you, maybe those that have abandoned you, all of a sudden things start to change inside of you. Why? Because His expression of love is greater than anything the devil has ever done. His love overpowers all the lies of the enemy, if we allow it to, amen? Because again, it's a choice that we have to make. I choose joy in the midst of it. I choose to agree with God that supernaturally, Lord, you're going to do something in me. When I forgive that person, love's going to well up on the inside, and I'm going to be free to love anybody, no matter where they come from. Isn't it easy to love people that you don't have a relationship with? Right? You're just like, you meet somebody, hey, how are you? Kind, considerate. Hey, yeah, it's wonderful. Nice to meet you. Yeah, you too. And then it's the people that you know very well. Hey, what's going on? None. I just can't take him. I just can't take her. Oh, they drive me crazy. It's like nails on a chalkboard. But somebody we don't know, hey! Turn it on, turn it off. God wants us to get a little bit more steady in our love affair. Amen? You know how you get steady in your love affair? Reading the Word every morning. Spending time in prayer with the King every morning. Because then my heart starts to change. And then no matter what people have said or done, I look at it through the eyes of His grace and what He has done for me. And I'm reminded of how many things He's forgiven me of. And therefore, I'm able to love those who are unlovable. But it's a spiritual love that God, through His Holy Ghost, enables us to have. Listen, you don't have enough love in you. I don't care how nice you are, how kind you are, without the Holy Ghost. If you're going to love the world, if you're going to love them that hate you, that want to cut your head off for preaching the Word of God over in the Middle East, you're going to have supernatural love. The natural isn't going to cut it. And that only comes through knowing Him. Amen? You know, agape, which is the love people have only because God has given it to them. That's agape love. It's that sacrificial love. It's so easy to sacrifice for those that you love. You know, when we first got married, had the 3 kids. Wasn't a big deal to work 2 jobs, working 16-hour days. Not a big deal at all. Why? Because I loved my family, and I wanted to make sure that they had enough. So working 16 hours, who cares? That's what you did. Why? Because you loved them. And my purpose is to make sure that my family is taken care of. We have a generation that's coming up that they don't want to work. You watch it on these feeds, these kids complaining, oh, you don't understand, 8 hours, 9 to 5, I can't do it. It'll just destroy me. It just ruins my creativity. Here, get creative with this. Get out of my house. Find a way to stay warm. Get creative in getting warm. You know? When we fall in love, it's easy to go above and beyond. See, when we fall in love with the Lord, it's easy to go above and beyond anything anybody else can either ask or think. Right? When we come in here with gifts, Deirdre went above and beyond. I came in this morning, I turned all the lights off up here, and I just had these on. And I tell you, it was a peaceful place. Me and the good Lord, we was enjoying each other. The Holy Spirit came and he just said, you know what? You got to change. And I say, gladly. Because when you're in his presence and when you know he's in love with you, there's things that he wants to change in each one of us. Amen? And no matter where we're at, tell your neighbor, say, you have not arrived. But God's bringing you to a place that he's going to open up the heavens and he's going to rain down on each and every one when you agree that you're loved. Tell your neighbor again, say, I know I'm loved. Right. Love is goodness that one chooses to do on behalf of another. This is what Jesus did. He chose to do something on behalf of us, right? And we know in 1 Corinthians 13, a love chapter, and it says, if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned and do not have love, it profits me nothing. How many people want to give or sow or cause someone else, you know, hey, yeah, well, I'll give, but I'm not doing it. Hey, that's your job. That's your calling. That's your purpose, right? But whatever the calling is that you have on your life, even if you just give, you take from your excess and you give, but you don't love God? Because he didn't say, hey, I need your money. We're going to be walking on streets of gold, amen? He doesn't need our money. He's looking for us to fall in love with him because love becomes obedient. The more I fall in love with him, the more obedient I become. The less that I read or pray, the harder my heart gets. Because I have to renew myself daily. I don't know about you, but I can get distracted. My wife agrees with me quickly on these things, you know it? Oh, I didn't hear the Me Too. Oh, this is the Me Too movement? All right. I know you do, Brent. And I know she loves me. That's why it's easy to do whatever's got to be done for her and my kids. Because I know, not only do I love them, but I know that I'm loved by them most of the time. Right, boys? She's back there, yeah, most of the time. It goes on to say that love is patient, love is kind, love is not jealous, love does not brag, and is not arrogant. I'll read that one again. And is not arrogant. And is not arrogant, and is not arrogant. It is not arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And there's one thing that will never fail, and that's what? Love. Love never fails. The love of God will never fail you. People have failed you, but the love of God, you fall in love with him, he'll never fail you. How do we know that? Well, look at Romans 5:8. I'm sorry. Got way past myself. Oh, man. Where did I put it? Oh, yeah. Sorry, it was Romans 5:8. He said, but God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we were disgusting, living an immoral life, out of control, whatever the issue was, his love was still there. When you wanted nothing to do with him, When we, that's one thing I never got into, never using the Lord's name in vain. I was always afraid of him. Can I just tell you, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom? But then how many times have we watched stuff and we paid to listen to his name be used in vain? Right? We say, Lord, I love you. And then we watch this stuff and they curse our God. They use the most wonderful name above every other name. They use it as a derogatory term. And we just sit there and say, oh, well, it's just part of the movie. I really wanted to watch the movie. And I didn't realize that was in there. Can I tell you, whenever I hear it, my heart just, my spirit just cringes. It used to be that it didn't even bother me. I didn't think much about it. But now, man, it hurts. Why? Because the more I fall in love with him, the less I want anybody speaking evil of my king. I want them to know how good he is, how righteous he is. And when they use his name, I think of all that he has done. When I was a sinner, he died for me because he loved me. Please don't do that. Please don't use his name in front of me because it hurts me. It hurts my heart. It makes me just start to weep inside. See, the more we fall in love with him, the easier it is to walk away from the things of this world. God demonstrates his love towards us, and that means he established ultimate love. God said, here's the definition of ultimate love. I died for you when you didn't even know me. I became incarnate. I became human. I created you and everything you see. I became man. I dwelt among you. I gave myself for you. Here is the definition of ultimate love. Every other definition pales in comparison to his love. Everything that the Hallmark Channel comes up with, the same exact plot every single movie. I'd rather go clean the toilet than have to watch that over and over. I'm sorry. I just can't watch that many of them. But they said, oh, don't worry. We're going to get more progressive now in them. Here's Hallmark. And now they're going woke. Oh, yeah, you're going to see a lot more of all of the foolishness of the world in your good old Hallmark movies. Sorry, you know the end from the beginning. Isn't that frustrating? No, huh? Yes. Oh, okay. All right. I just don't want anybody to think that I'm bad. You know, they're nice. They're feel-good movies. But anyway, I got to get back to love. John 15:13 says, no greater love what? Does anyone have than to lay down his life for another? The ultimate definition of love, not lifting up yourself and criticizing another, commanding another, controlling another, demeaning another, brutalizing another, none of those things, cursing another. He said, no greater love does anyone have than to lay down his or her life, right? Love is the most important commandment that God has given us. Love is our trademark. I want to put that on a shirt. Love is my trademark. I don't know, probably get you in trouble, but love is my trademark. You know, but how many want to be accountable like that all the time? Yeah, love is my trademark sometimes. Christmas morning, in John 13, 34 and 35, right? He said that as I have loved you, what are we supposed to do? Love others. Tell your neighbor, say, I love you. I love you. Tell your other neighbor, say, yep. No, tell them, I love you too. Come on. You see, this is where we get in our head. You know, the one that I know, I'll say it to, but I don't even know the person next to me. That's the beautiful thing about God. When we were yet sinners, he loved us. Before we even knew him, he had a plan for us. Before we ever walked on the planet, his love for us was so insatiable that he changed everything. He changed into human form because he wanted a relationship with each and every one of us. Amen. You know, Matthew 1:23, it says, behold, a virgin will shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is interpreted God with us. Once again, going back to God producing love, the ultimate expression of love. It's the climax of human history. God, the Creator, dwelling among us. God has visited his people. And he decided to take up residence with us. I don't know about you. I don't know all of you here. But maybe you don't feel or you don't know that God wants to live with you and inside of you. He wants to lead you and guide you because he loves you, not because he's trying to punish. This isn't a get out of hell free card. This is a falling in love with God card. This is living a life of freedom now, right now. It breaks my heart to see so many. I'll close my eyes. I'm not thinking about you. Okay? But some people would be like, oh, Pastor, you looked right at me. I know you were talking about me. See, that's what the devil does. Right? But I want you to know his love for you. Maybe that's you this morning and you don't feel loved. Maybe you're the one that can't love someone else. I want you to know with God all things are possible. His love rules and reigns preeminent in the universe as he set everything in order. C.S. Lewis, he put it like this. He said, we catch sight of a new key principle, the power of the higher, just insofar as it is truly higher to come down, the power of the greater to include the less. Isn't that beautiful? He's included us in his plans to change the world and to walk in power. He goes on to say, everywhere the great enters the little, its power to do so is almost a test of its greatness. Once God comes and lives on the inside of you, you become the most powerful entity on the planet. Because every demon in hell has to bow before you. Amen? He has been defeated. Every addiction, every lie, every abuse, there's victory in the midst of it when he starts to dwell on the inside of us. Because it's a supernatural love. But everywhere the great enters the little, its power to do so is almost the test of its greatness. In the Christian story, God comes down from the heights of absolute being into time and space, down into humanity, down further still. If embryologists are right, to recapitulate, in the womb, ancient and pre-human phases of life, down to the very roots and seabed of the nature he has created. But he goes down to come up again and to bring the whole ruined world up with him. One may think of a diver first reducing himself to nakedness and then glancing in midair, then gone with a splash, vanished, rushing down through the green and warm water into the black and cold water, down through the increasing pressure into the death-like region of ooze and slime and old decay, and then up again, back to color and light, his lungs almost bursting, till suddenly he breaks the surface again, holding in his hand the dripping, precious thing that he went down to recover. That's what God did. He went down into the depths of darkness, and he grabbed a hold of us by the hand, and he pulled us up. The ultimate act of love. In our sin, in our darkness, in our fallen nature. And he said, hang on. And when he grabbed us by the hand, and when we received him as our Lord, he washed us, he cleansed us, he gave us a new name. And he said, I'll love you forever. I even loved you when you were down in the slime and the darkness. What an amazing Father we have. So this morning, let's stand up. Don't allow anyone else to give you a definition of what love is. And I want to encourage some here Stop hanging on to the definition of what you thought love was. Because sometimes people that said they loved us hurt us. And some people are still hanging on to that definition. And what it does is it keeps you in limbo. You can't go forward until you let go of that and agree with his definition of what love is. Amen? His definition, the ultimate definition of love. God becoming man, dwelling among us, laying down his life for us so that we would be free. I want you to know, if you're a first-time visitor, you're loved. If you've been coming here for a year, you're loved. If you've been coming here for 20 years, you're still loved. You're still loved after 20 years. I've been coming here for 25 years, and I still feel loved. Because it's not based on what I've done, it's based on what he's done. And I want to keep doing what he's called us to do. And love always produces obedience. I don't know what your call is. I don't know what God's designed all of you for, but I know some of you is what he's called you to do. And if we say we love the Lord, then we're going to obey his word. And he's going to take something that's the smallest and make something beautiful out of it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the body of Christ. Lord, just a picture of you coming down out of eternity, sending your Son, who was at the right hand of the Father all through eternity past. And then you created this space-time continuum only for a short season. And then you dove down out of heaven and you reached into the miry clay. You grabbed us. You spoke over us. You danced over us. You sang over us. And you called us your own. All because we believed. Father, today we agree and we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord. And Lord, because of that profession of faith, everything in our lives starts to change. And Lord, whether we did it yesterday, a year ago, 10 years ago, that same consolation that you'll be with us, that you'll go before us, that you'll empower us, that you filled us with your Holy Ghost, the greatest gift, our salvation, and then the other greatest gift, the power of the Holy Ghost, because you love us. Father, today we acknowledge our love towards you. Lord, we ask you, Lord, help us to release those thoughts of yesterday and renew them with your word. Help us, Lord, to find that root that's been limiting us from fulfilling the call of God in our lives. And help us to cut it off and say, no, I choose to agree with God and what his word says rather than my experience of yesterday. Lord, that each one would step into that place of freedom, knowing that they're loved, knowing that the plan that you wrote for them is something incredible, something glorious, something beautiful, something where the provision is already there, something no matter what, they cannot fail. Even though we stumble, we still cannot fail when we stay in love with you. Lord, today, I pray your blessing upon each and everyone. Lord, those hearts that have been hurting, touch them right now in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, arrest them. Start to massage that heart, oh God. Lord, that that heart would once again turn to a heart of flesh and remove any stony areas. For those that have hurt us, Father, we release them now in the name of Jesus. Lord, for even what we're going to walk through right now, we agree that you're able to carry us through tomorrow and the next day and all the way through to eternity. So, Lord, we're not going to back away. We're not going to back down. We're not going to hold back who you are in us because the world wants to see who you are. So, Father, today as we walk out of here, our desire is to reflect the goodness and the glory of God, because you have washed us and cleansed us and you made us whole, because you gave us a new name and our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, because your hand is upon each and every one of us and your love is the same. Thank you, Father, for reminding us over and over and over again that you love us. That you love us, that you love us with an everlasting love. Father, I pray that our hearts would fall in love with you more and more every day as we lay aside all of the weights of this world, all of the foolishness of this world. Let us take and be a gift this week to everyone we see. That someone else would hear of the loving kindness of a king that came down from eternity and spawned a whole new way of living through the power of your Holy Ghost. Thank you, Father, for renewing everyone here, renewing their strength, renewing that vision, renewing and strengthening that love and that mercy. We walk out of here humble and giving ourselves to you that others might know you. And we do it all for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. He loves you, he loves you, he loves you. You're loved. Don't doubt that you're loved. You're never going to be alone.